Welcome to this episode of the Erasing Shame podcast. And this is a very special episode because we are wrapping up season 6. My name is DJ Chuang. I'm joined with Victoria Chang, who will be our season 7 co-host. And we're going to co-host that season in a very special way. And we're going to share that with you. Victoria, welcome to Erasing Shame.
Thank you, DJ. Excited to do this with you.
Well, I'm thrilled that you've joined us for season 7 and really looking forward to bringing your creativity. And I want to empower you with a blank canvas to bring all of yourself and your friends and your passion and your concern and care for this topic of mental health. And I know a bit of your mental health journey, but want to have an opportunity here for you to share your life and for our viewers and our listeners to get to know you. So Victoria, how are you doing? And tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm doing pretty good. And I'm happy that I can actually say that, not just right now today, but I would say overall in my 24 years of life, the past 2 years have been pretty good compared to everything else leading up to it. And so praise God for that. Mm-hmm. A little bit about my mental health background is that I had severe anxiety in high school and I learned how to cope with it. I still have anxiety now, but I'm very good at rationalizing that I'm okay, even if my heart rate is very high or I feel all the physical symptoms of anxiety. And then in high school, I had severe depression as well. And I saw a therapist for it. That was helpful to have someone who wasn't part of my family or friend group, that was a professional, non-biased person to help me. I had a couple mental health crises to the point where I needed to be hospitalized. And the first time I decided not to be hospitalized, the second time I just had to be. And then after my first hospitalization in 2021, I was diagnosed with a mood disorder, and that's from one doctor. I'd say that a lot of practices that I've implemented now, like getting good sleep, having a routine, asking for help when I need it, or seeking a therapist, have really put a lot of those symptoms at bay. So that's interesting. But yeah, I've had a lot of experiences with mental health issues that aren't just situational, but affect my functioning to the point where I need help. And I did begin taking medicine, I would say, back in maybe high school. And I had a hard time accepting that I needed medicine, but I do take medicine for my anxiety / depression. And that is a little summary of my background with mental health.
Well, thank you so much. I guess we're done.
Nice. See you season 7.
This is funny because the first time this is actually a second recording of this episode, because the first one went a bit long. We're shooting for 25 minutes.
Yeah, and I just said everything in like 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, when we do share where we're coming from with our mental health experiences, sometimes we just have a few minutes, and sometimes we have 25 minutes, sometimes we have an hour, and sometimes we have 3 hours, depending on the situation. And I know with podcasts that typically 20 to 25 minutes is a good time frame, because people are on a commute or they're running an errand. So we wanted to re-record this and make it a little more appropriately packaged
condensed
for
yeah
a podcast.
I give a very brief background because I feel like you'll have more pointed questions that I can expound upon.
Okay, so we'll look for a couple of those points to expound upon. But I first met Victoria when she shared her mental health journey for the very first time in
publicly
in a mental health conference at a Chinese church in Atlanta, Georgia. And she did a phenomenal job and was really vulnerable. And I was just really surprised because I did not have the poise or courage or opportunity to do that when I was her age. But then again, I wasn't diagnosed until I was 34 years old. Though I did struggle with mental health symptoms, I think, in my teens and 20s, but they weren't severe enough that it caused me to not function well. I was still able to maintain my grades and get a job, even got married and had a son all before the age of 30. And so things were going along okay, even though I had sadness and that was my default emotion all those years. I just didn't know I needed help, partly because of the shame and stigma.
Right.
But Victoria, you experienced something in high school that prompted you to reach out for help.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen earlier, or were there signs of it earlier growing up in your family? What prompted the change in high school?
In high school, I think it got so bad that I couldn't eat or sleep. I just wasn't hungry, wasn't tired, had racing thoughts. And so my parents were really worried. And so they suggested I see a therapist. And so that was the first step in me actually receiving professional help. But when I was a kid, I was a melancholy child. I was also happy to some degree, but I remember having just a very reserved, shy childhood. And in my family growing up, at least the first 3 to 4 kids, we were taught that you should not show too much emotion, whether it's anger or happiness, to kind of keep it inside, and just kind of be obedient, which was not healthy, and that is called suppressing your emotions. And that actually affects sort of how I process my emotions today. But yeah, I suppressed a lot of anger in middle school. And I think because sadness can be felt quietly, that was my forefront emotion. And I also got good grades and excelled in school, but inside I was very unhappy, didn't really want to continue, didn't see a purpose, didn't have goals. And so in high school, when I had a bit of a shift in my community, like I went to a private Christian school, kindergarten through eighth grade, then I went to a very liberal performing arts high school. It was a bit of a culture shock, and I mentioned this before. And I just felt really out of my comfort zone. I felt alone. And I think all of that suppressed emotion kind of surfaced once that transition happened, and it led to inhibiting my daily functioning, eating and sleeping. And so that's when we got help.
Yeah, so life changes, a change in school, maybe just change environment, really.
And
upset things.
If you look back at my life, all 24 years of it, I'll see points where every time there's a transition, that's when my mental health tends to go down. And that would be considered situational, but I think consistently throughout my life, I've had this depression, anxiety, and so the transition actually worsens my symptoms. But in the past 2 years with my transitions, I think I've handled it pretty well. So there's improvement, there's growth, there's hope.
Yeah, you've learned a lot over these major transitions in your life. So one was high school. Mm-hmm. Another one was college.
Mm-hmm.
And you not only experienced a lot of symptoms yourself, but there's a lot of social pressures too.
Yes. So
can you describe a bit of that from your family and also your faith community?
Yeah. So I am Chinese American. My parents are not immigrants. My grandparents are. Mm-hmm. So my parents were raised in the States. I was raised in the States. And so didn't have too much pressure to excel in school. If I did, it was from myself. And that was just the kind of school that I went to as a young kid. Like, we all were competitive and wanted to do well. But there was pressure from, I would say, my dad's church community, because senior year of high school, we moved to a church, a Chinese church, a big one. And a lot of those kids had immigrant parents who value education so much because that is the way that they provided opportunity and better lives for their families. And so I didn't really have dreams to get into an Ivy, but I did want to go to a good school and I wanted to excel. And I ended up attending Wheaton College in Illinois, which is a Bible college. A lot of kids there are very high achieving students. And a lot of my friend group was too. And so I felt this pressure to kind of keep up. And I was thinking, you know, this can't be too different from high school. And I was wrong. And I didn't really have the tools to succeed in college. And I had a bit of a perfectionist tendency. So that also contributed with my mental health and the transition to what culminated in me deciding to withdraw from college. And that was hard. Someone close to me told me, I feel like you just threw your shot away. And I was like, that's an interesting take. And it's interesting because when you're young, you think school is your life and you think college is what's going to help you make it, which is not true. There are multiple pathways to take. So after I withdrew from college, I came back and I actually isolated myself from my dad's church community because I knew that a lot of these Chinese immigrants and their kids, mostly the parents, would judge me for dropping out of college. And lo and behold, they did. They said some interesting, hurtful things, indirectly or directly. And so there was a lot of shame in dropping out. And I did feel like a failure. And that's why I isolated, because I did not want people to see me being depressed. I didn't want people to know that I was back and that I wasn't in school, because all my friends from church in the grade were still going to school and I was home and I wasn't doing anything. So that was hard. But my parents encouraged me to get a job, and like an entry-level job, and eventually started going to community college. And that job was really good for me because it gave me routine and also helped me pay off my college debt that I had incurred over one semester.
Wow, what kind of job could do that? That's amazing.
A minimum wage job that you go to every single day, except the days that you can't be scheduled and you just work at it for a decent amount and you pay off your bills.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had the impression that working minimum wage meant you could just pay rent and have food and that was about it. But to pay off your debt, that's remarkable.
Well, because I was with my parents, so I didn't have to pay for rent and I didn't have to pay for food. And also it was only one semester. But these days, minimum wage can't really afford you rent. So good luck.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we hope that will change.
Yeah. So it sounded like you had good support from your parents and your siblings.
Yeah. I definitely
what
did,
was most helpful to you?
So there were definitely things that were unhelpful, but what was most helpful was having support that didn't try to micromanage me, didn't try to solve all my problems, but just having people who cared about me and hoped the best for me and took care of me in ways that I needed. My dad would keep me company when I felt lonely in my room. And even if I didn't really engage with him, he kept me company. My parents would make lunch for me before I went off to work. At the time, I didn't get my license yet, so they would drive me. I think some pushing is helpful, but in general, I think I just felt supported by them. And it was hard because they would talk about me to their friends, and I felt like I don't want them to talk about me at all. And it's there's a kind of hard because their friends care and they need help, they need prayer, and I don't want them to talk about me. So that was difficult to get through. But yeah, having their support without them trying to fix me was one of the biggest helps, I would say.
Good. I'm glad you had that. And it took some time for your recovery journey. And since those crisis moments, you've recovered, you've been able to finish college.
No.
No?
I mean, I got my associates, but I transferred to University of Maryland, and then I dropped out again because I just didn't want to go into debt for political science, and I started working.
Okay, my bad, but you're working.
Oh, you're good.
You're gainfully employed and working now, so that's fantastic.
Thanks to people that I know, thanks to people that I met, and thanks to God.
Yeah, so what do you do for maintaining your self-care and staying healthy?
I try to get at least 7 hours of sleep, especially on weekdays. I try to exercise because that helps me get tired out and then I can fall asleep. It's hard for me to fall asleep at night, usually because I just have a lot of thoughts going on in my head. So exercise looks like weightlifting, bouldering, ultimate frisbee, going on walks even at the minimum, any sort of movement. Your doctors will always say, how have you been exercising? It's because it's so important because we have jobs where we sit for like 8 hours a day. So yeah, any type of movement, make it fun. It doesn't have to be terrible. You could do Zumba. I did that with my mom at some point. Besides the physical of sleep and exercise, what else do I do? Oh, I'm an extrovert, so I love to hang out with my friends, and I will invest in friendships that I think are two-way streets, especially my girl friendships. And those are people I can call if I need help. I specifically call my siblings and my parents if I need more emotional support. And then I make time for things that I enjoy, whether that's just looking at memes on my phone and cackling to myself for like an hour, or playing guitar, listening to Spotify. I like cleaning. I like organizing. That helps me like turn off my brain and just focus on something else. Yeah, those are some things that I do for self-care. I also do a little bit of writing, but mostly when I'm sad or angry. So that's a good processing tool, I would say.
Yeah, because you want to get it out of you and not suppress it.
Exactly.
Good. All right. Well, in the last few minutes we have, what do we have to look forward to in season 7? Because I'm handing you the mic.
Yes, the mic, the baton. So for season 7, the theme is Christian Asian mental health. And that includes a lot of different categories. And so I have been having regular conversations with friends, and things will come up in our conversation that I think, oh, this would be really great to record because I feel like this person has an interesting story or experience or insight to say about this topic. So one thing I want to include is offering a lot of resources for like how to get help, how to come up with a safety plan so that you don't end up hospitalized, because that happened to me and I didn't have a safety plan. You know, how to advocate for yourself when you're hospitalized. I feel like that would be very specific that I think could be useful to some people. And I also want to talk about like our physical, emotional, spiritual, sexual well-being, especially as young people growing up in this generation. And I do want to bring some of my older siblings, even younger if they're willing, onto the podcast, because I think we would have interesting conversations about growing up and what we've learned from our experiences, being independent, having relationships with people. And I also think it would be interesting to talk about different cultures, so and how they approach mental health. For example, like your Western culture is more like justice oriented, and then your Eastern cultures tend to be more honor and shame based. And as a Chinese American, those two come together and there's complexity in it. And so I think talking about those backgrounds could be interesting. There's a lot that we could talk about, and I'm excited to bring people in my life that I look up to or consider. You can learn a lot just from listening to someone else's life / experiences. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thank you so very much, Victoria. I'm looking forward to season 7. Thank you for stepping in and being the co-host of this new season. Really looking forward to it. I'll be running the engineering in the background and keeping this going. We can expect a new episode once a month or so as you prepare all the connections and people and record the podcast, and we'll continue conversations here at Erasing Shame. So thank you, viewers and listeners, for being with us on this episode of Erasing Shame and through all 6 seasons, as well as special seasons that we've had. For example, we had a special summer series back in 2018. Can you believe it? We've been running for 5 years now, Erasing Shame episodes. And you can catch all of those at wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everything's also available at erasingshame.com. Please subscribe and add a rating so others can connect in on these great conversations. And you'll want to be here when season 7 starts. Victoria Chang, thank you so much. We love you, and we look forward to how we'll learn and grow together as a community.
Thanks, DJ.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Check out the show notes at erasingshame.com and subscribe to our email for updates. We would love to hear from you, so please add your comments at our website or on social. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast app, and you can also subscribe on YouTube or follow on Facebook. Please add a rating and review so we can reach more people with our message of health, hope, and compassion. This podcast is the digital outreach of Christian Asian Mental Health.